you know, I've been to a lot of events now, talked to a lot of planners. Planners really, really want to do the right thing. I say it jokingly, but we want to throw a good party. We do. We want to be happy. We don't want to see at a party somebody in the background sipping their drink, having a bad time. That's one of your attendees. That could be an attendee with a disability. They can't participate. So they just want to throw a good party. And I really, absolutely, with all my heart of hearts, I'm seeing this, that people are so excited about. I really want to do this right.
Great events create great brands. But pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village. And we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Felicia.
And you're listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing.
Hi, everyone. What has been going on in this wide, wide world of events? My name is Felicia, and I am your host for this week's episode. So we are recording this episode because we are thinking about Global Accessibility Day on the 16th of May. And we know that, you know, that's just coming up tomorrow. And so we asked our favorite accessibility representative in CVent, and he will be blushing because he's like, really? But yes, really. Stephen Cutchins, our Senior Manager of Accessibility, to join us. So, Stephen, please say hello to our audience.
Sure. So, hey, everybody. Happy day before Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Stephen Cutchins, our Senior Manager of Accessibility. Been doing accessibility for, I think I'm at about 22 years now. I got people always ask, you know, how'd you get into this? I was on a project. I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. So, I was on a project for the federal government, and people didn't know what to do on a project. And they said, you figure this out. And that was probably 3 or 4 years of that. And then I'm like, I think this is going to be my career. So now, knock wood, 20 plus years doing it. I'm still all I do. And I, you know, still like it just as much.
I say you are our favorite accessibility person at CVent because, I mean, A, you talk about it a lot, which is great. It's always good to sort of beat the drum of something. But also you're super passionate. Like every conversation I've had with you isn't, okay, the business should be doing this or these are the statutory rules. You know, you really do come at it from a, why would we not be thinking about this? Like for every single human, you know, so I love that. But just for our audience, in case this is their first foray into this subject, which I'm sure it's not, but just in case, let's just go over why accessibility is important.
Actually, what accessibility is. So accessibility is making our digital content work for people with disabilities. It's as simple as that. We know about the physical stuff, like everybody's, you know, you go to the bank and they have to have or any facility or hotel or event venue. You can't just have a tiny little rotating door. I'm lucky my legs work. I'm not in a wheelchair. I don't have a service animal. I can see, I can hear. I don't have a white cane. So I can get through that little rotating door. No big deal, right? My colleague who is in a wheelchair can't. My colleague who is blind can't. And or they can, but it's not difficult, especially with a cane. So you have to do things like there's size requirements for wheelchairs. You have to have doors that auto open. Everybody understands that. They kind of get it, you know? Braille in the elevator, captions on a YouTube video, right? For somebody who can't hear the video, they can still read the content. Accessibility is, oh, actually, sorry, digital accessibility. Captions are under accessibility, but accessibility is making our digital content work for them. You know, if somebody's is colorblind and they can't tell the difference between a green success message and a red error message, we have to make it so there's something other besides color. Somebody has a physical disability and can't use a mouse or just simply getting older. I mean, we're all getting older, you know, holding up a mouse here, but as we get older, we might get tremors in our handshakes. We might have a physical disability where we can't use a mouse. We have to make content work for those people. And for me, it's the right thing to do. My mother was an amputee. I have a disability, a neurological disorder. I had two cousins in wheelchairs. But outside of that personal reason, it makes business sense. There are 20%+ of the people in the world who want to come to our events, who want to participate, want to be speakers, want to give us money to come to these great events. If we don't enable them, they're not going to come. And it just makes business sense to me also.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, I've been talking about diversity for a few years now. I kind of fell into that, talking about diversity. It was one of those weird things that happened. It was the whole George Floyd thing. And everyone was like, oh, you look like you could speak about diversity. And I was like, do I really? It's not my area. It's not my expertise. What's this? You know, and I always tell that joke because it opened up a door for me. It opened up something where I got to understand more than my own diversity, right? So I got to talk to people that were talking about making things accessible for everybody. Now, that is a diversity in itself. It's not a racial thing, but I think coming at it. I remember sitting on stage with you once and you were kind of like, you know, what's the cost of being racist here? So like, who are we excluding? You know,
that was great. You mentioned that later. We were very lucky that I was at Connect UK and got to talk to Felicia, and she was asking about, isn't this expensive? How much it costs? And I said, when is it okay to be racist? At what point? You know, is it okay if it adds 10% and I can say, you're black, you can't use it? Is it 20%? Is it 1? Never. So I think it's the exact same thing with digital accessibility. I mean, and again, that's because there's two. There's, for me, it really is, I mean, this is personal. It's the right thing to do. But also from a business sense, and there's numbers to prove it, both ways, it cost-wise, it only adds about 2%. U.S. federal government did a big study there. I wish I remember the name of the organization, but it was like some whatever that said it was like 1.8%, I think, to within, I think they did a 6-year study. Over 6 years, it's like, let's say 2% more expensive to make your products accessible. Long term, it's essentially zero. It's the same as with like security. Now we just get it, have to make our digital products secure. Well, we have to make them accessible. So long term, the cost is essentially zero. And companies that are more inclusive, this was a big Accenture study that they did with an organization called Disability In. Companies make, please pay attention, companies that are more accessible make significantly more money. I think it was 60% more revenue than companies that are not inclusive to people with disabilities. The numbers were staggering, how much more money you make by being inclusive. And if we go back to that, at least in the US, it was over 20% of people have a disability. 20% of people, I don't care about you at all. I don't care. I don't care if you come to my event. You're in a wheelchair, you're deaf, you're blind, you're colorblind, you have limited vision, you're in a wheelchair, you have a service animal. I don't care. I don't want you to come. 20% of your users. I wouldn't go to any planner out there and go, you can increase your revenue by 20%, increase the number of people. If you did 2% additional cost, they would take that all day long.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm going to get us onto the, you know, that topic of how we can help planners to think about what to do, physically do, to make their events more accessible. And that is both physical and digital. I'm going to give a perspective based on what I heard. So let's think about large organizations, some who may be listening to this, when they're down 5% on their revenue or their budgeted, you know, their forecast, everybody starts rallying because they're like, oh my gosh, we're off by 5%. If you take that to like the millions of dollars or pounds or euros and you're down 5%, think about how much 5% represents of half, like call it 500 million, right? Then tell me, no, we're not down. We could actually make 20% more or 60% more, because that was the figure that you actually gave. I'm suddenly kind of like, okay, not only is this important for it's the right thing to do, but come on, like, where are you getting those 5% gains from when someone's telling you to cut your budget? You're like, actually, do you know what? Let's not cut the budget. Let's make more money. Doesn't that just make more sense?
Yeah, spend 2% and get 20 back. Yeah, 100%.
It just right. Makes- yeah. So let's take that and help us to go down that path of, okay, so what should event planners and organizers actually be doing? And we can talk, like I said, about physically or digitally. What should they be asking venues or suppliers there, you know, just to make their events more accessible?
So tomorrow we're doing on Global Accessibility Awareness Day a 2-hour webinar. The first hour is kind of a panel. We have somebody who's in a wheelchair. We have me, and then we have somebody who's a hearing disability. We're going to talk just kind of an open panel. The second hour, we're going to show some of our products, and then we're going to launch a thing called the Big Book of Event Accessibility. It's free. It's huge. It's, I think, 80 pages right now. It's growing. I'm saying this because a lot of the stuff I'm going to say now is going to be in the big book. I'm so excited. We've been working on this thing for so long, like many, many, many months. Finally ready. Actually, you've done some of the reviews on it. I'm pretty excited. So the biggest thing is ask your attendees. And there's really two different things. And we talk about this in the big book. There's two things you can do. You can go into detail and say, will you be accompanied by a personal care assistant? Do you need captions? Do you need sign language interpreter? So what language for sign language? Will you come with a service animal? Well, there are so many questions you can ask, and that's great. Or if you're unsure of the questions, or if you're simply afraid, like, I don't want to ask somebody if they're in a wheelchair, or if they use a mobility device, is really what people would say. And that's important because you have to know not just the physical stuff about like grants, when you're setting up tables for dining, when you're setting up just the tables to go in your opening plenary, you need a place reserved for them with the chair gone, because they're in a wheelchair. Their chair comes with them. And I mentioned, like, if they have a service animal, that's really two spaces, because you don't want the dog out in the aisle because somebody could step on its tail, they could kick it, they could whatever. And actually, to follow up on that, if they said they also come with a personal care assistant, you have to know things like, well, that's now, they have a service animal, so that's one space. They have them in a wheelchair, that's two spaces. And we reserve the chair next to them for their personal care assistant. And we don't charge that PCA. They're a nurse. They're someone that's there to take care of health and welfare of that person, right? You don't charge them. I mean, you can charge them a nominal fee for the food. Normally we don't. To go back to my original point is just please ask. And if you're not sure what to ask, and this actually came up with, let's see, that employee sent me a thing. Like, I love this. It was their alma mater did a thing for the like 10-year reunion, I think it was, for graduates. And it said, do you require ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act? Do you require ADA accommodations? And then it said, if you put yes, we will contact you within a couple of weeks to discuss how we can best accommodate you. That is brilliant. I'm not sure what to ask. You know, I don't know, but you do. So we're going to contact you and say and find out, like, oh, you're in a wheelchair. Okay, great. Oh, you also have a service animal. Oh, great. Okay. Oh, and you also have a personal care assistant. Well, then I know a lot of stuff I have to do to make that person enabled. The biggest thing is just ask. That's for starters. Please ask your attendees. And I think the more questions you ask, the more people are going to want to come. Because if you don't ask, and somebody said this, don't reduce my experience to a checkbox. So on a website, don't just put a little box and say, do you require accommodations? I could be deaf, I could be blind, I could have a physical disability, service animal, personal care assistant, all those things. And if I just put yes, that's not enough. I thought that was such a great saying of my experience shouldn't just be one little checkbox that says, yes, or no, you have a disability. There's an awful lot of types out there. And we can accommodate all of them, you just have to know how.
I really love to hear that, because we often do talk about, you know, diversities and accessibilities being these checkbox exercises, even where people are saying, oh, look, I did it. I got people to come to my event that ticked this box. And actually it's like, yeah, but did they feel welcome? Did they feel that they were able? Could they do all the things that other people could do? You know, how did you make it inclusive, not just that you got them in the door? So I think that is a wonderful saying. And this kind of goes back to, I remember there was a school of thought where people were like, don't ask, you shouldn't ask me, you should just be accommodating. And I'm like, look, I'm not a planner, I'm a marketer, but I've been planning events now for a long time and working alongside other planners. And we all plan based on our information. So what you said to me makes sense. But what do you think, you know, we're talking about responsibility here. I think you started the podcast by saying some venues, most venues, every venue should just do a particular standard. So there's a responsibility on venues to have some standards. Then the organizer, it sounds like what you're saying, needs to ask. But I think the attendee, there are some that would say, don't ask me. There were some that say it should be a standard. I'm not going to tell you, you should just get some sign language people. What do you think? Like, what should we be doing here? Is it as big of a minefield as I'm making it sound? Or is it, let's just ask, you just tell me and I'll get it done?
We've had so many cool conversations about this internally. Is for certain things you don't ask, like the website itself, it has to be accessible. It has to meet web content accessibility guidelines, because you just don't know. But to go down a tangent of, I should just make it work for everybody. Think about, there are so many different types of dietary restrictions. Some people are allergic to strawberries. Some people love strawberries. Some people might be halal or vegetarian or vegan or pescatarian. Should I really have every option in sufficient quantities that, considering maybe 10 people are vegetarian, I'm sorry, 10% of my 2,000 attendee audience could be vegetarian. So I'm going to have hundreds of vegetarian meals. And really, it turns out nobody is. And I just wasted all that and that money. So I think it's the exact same thing. And I'm going to give you a great, and this is a real, matter of fact, I mentioned tomorrow the two-hour webinar. The guy on the first hour, this is his story. Okay. This is not mine. He's in a wheelchair, disability where he cannot physically lift himself. Like, he has to, you know, take a wheelchair in the shower, in the bathroom. To get into bed, he uses a thing called a Hoyer lift, where essentially it picks him up and sets him in the bed. So I'm using my fingers here. Sorry, but a Hoyer lift is kind of shaped like this.
A C for everyone that can't see.
Well, the bottom of the C has to go under the bed. Okay. Otherwise, it would just tip over when it picks him up to put him in the bed. He specified an ADA, or Americans with Disabilities Act, accessible room. And it had a, you know, a shower that he could roll into. I think he mentioned it had a lip where it was difficult. The telephone had a light on it, but it had a bed that was on a solid base. And he couldn't get his Hoyer lift close enough to get into bed. So he has to have to pick him up and put him into bed. One, it's not a great experience. And is that really how you want your attendee to remember your event? Is, yeah, I had to have people pick me up and put me into bed and the next morning get me on. Or do you want to ask specific questions about not just, do you need an accessible room? It's a little bit rare, but you've got to plan for that. And when you contact the attendee to ask, like that one with the university did, with the alumni, or you just say, do you require a mobility device, and have some kind of text field to say, you know, I'm in a wheelchair, very limited mobility, I require a Hoyer lift and therefore a bed that I can get underneath, you'll do it. The hotel will do it for free. All you have to do is go, oh, I need that hotel, do it gladly. Done. No, but you have to know. But to go back to the thing about, should we just do it? Does that mean every hotel has to have these beds that aren't on the posts instead of platforms? No, you know, so super long-winded story, but I prefer the, for certain things like the website has to be accessible, period. But for certain things like dietary restrictions, you need accommodations, you really should ask. Yeah. And it's also going to make me feel more comfortable because ADHD, PTSD, certain things like that. If you ask these questions to know, given enough responses, we need to have like a low sensory room or a quiet room. We need to have a place where people you can just kind of get away. This is another true story. I was at a conference and I was speaking. So I sat all the way in the back and everybody's up front, you know, and I'm kind of on my phone and reading through my speech and get ready what I'm going to say. And this guy comes next to me and says, can I sit here? And I said, sure, you know. And I guess, sir, I mean, we're all literally in the back of this giant room. There's five or six or seven rows empty and then all the 400, 500 people up front. And I said, are you speaking? I just assumed he was speaking. He says, no, I'm here as an attendee. I have PTSD. I was former military. I get extremely uncomfortable with sounds behind me. And we were all the way in the corner, in the very far corner with no doors or anything behind him. And I bet if hopefully he let the planners know that, and then they could have in some way in rooms either let the speakers know or, you know, because what they don't want to do is, hey, you in the back, come on up here.
Right, exactly.
He would probably do it and he would be a nervous wreck. He would be scared. He would be looking around. So something like that, if you know, it's going to help your attendee. Because, and if speakers do that, he's probably going to leave your event because he's going to think that everybody else is going to be calling me up front or let's all come up front and do some bonding routine or some silly dance, some activity that everybody else is like, hey, this is awesome. I love this. And he's terrified.
Do you know, that just made me think about language. Like, there are moments where planners and particular types of people, so I know I'm a type of person that'd be like, yay, an activity. So I'm like, woohoo. But it made me think that maybe with that language, like when we're at church, we say, if you're comfortable and you can, please stand. That's what we say. Because I'm at church on the Sunday, I lead the worship. So we say, if you can and you're comfortable to do so, please stand. So if we're going to do that as event planners, maybe something is like, if you can and you're comfortable or you're able or you want to, please feel free to come forward. It's just a slight shift in language rather than like, right, everybody.
Yes, exactly. Come on, stand up, come up. And yeah. And also when you think about coming up to the front, we need to train our planners who then need to train their speakers, but let them know if somebody's in the back, let them stay in the back. I don't want to talk too producty, but we've got this feedback before from events where people who are neuroatypical, they are not comfortable like raising their hand and speaking up in public. They might have autism. That's just not their thing. They need a way to communicate and to chat and to ask questions without, you know, I'm going to stand up and hand me the mic, because for them, their brain is, it just can't do that. So have a mobile app that can, I want to ask a question, I want to vote on a poll, I want to essentially raise my hand and stand up without and ask my question without ever actually having to do that, because that terrifies me. Yeah, and that's, again, things that the more we think about this and ask questions and learn more, we just do it. So,
yeah, it's a standard. I love that. So thinking about standards, I know I hear there's different laws coming in. You know, this is how these things happen, where we think it's a good thing to do, we should try and do it, and then suddenly, you know, it becomes mandatory anyway, which I think is actually the right way to go. So what can you tell us about some of the new laws that are coming in Europe? And I hear, are there any in US?
Government sites have to do this. US, just a couple of weeks ago, passed one for the Americans with Disabilities Act that says state and local government, their services, their websites have to be accessible to people with disabilities. doesn't cover like businesses yet. Yet it'll happen. UK doesn't have it, but European Union does for all member states in the European Union. It's called the European Accessibility Act. It actually was enacted in like 2019. They started enforcing it June 2025. And that does cover businesses of, I think it's 10 or more employees or like 2 million euro a year or more revenue. So all you planners out there, this will impact you if you're either within an EU member state or doing business with. So even if a US organization wants to do business with a country in the EU or business in the EU, your products have to be accessible. It'll be web content accessibility guidelines. They're letting each country choose their own. It's probably going to be either 2.1 or 2.2. 2.2 is the newest one. That was like October last year. Our products will be designed in this to 2.2. If you remember GDPR, that, what is it, general data privacy, whatever, from 6 or 7 years ago, this is like the GDPR for accessibility.
It's the right thing to do. I mean, I always say if you want to create a shift, like we talk about sustainability all the time, until someone in government or someone regulates it, people are doing what they can do and saying, oh, well, I'm trying, you know, I did my best, but your best is probably not good enough. You do need standards to adhere to so that we can make sure it is what we spoke about earlier. There's a benchmark, you know, venues are doing what they need to do. Digital providers and suppliers are doing what they can do, because we recognize that not everyone can come in and code their website with exactly the right things that they need to do. So that's why here I know at Cvent, I know you've been working hard alongside the team to make sure that those standards are already being met ahead of time without someone telling us what we need to do, you know. So yeah, it's fantastic.
Because I mean, our planners aren't software engineers. They're not sitting down and writing JavaScript or .NET or whatever the technology is. I'm not smart enough to even know, but they don't do that. They use our products to create sites. Those sites have to meet these requirements. So luckily we've been, what, over 2 years now we've been working on this. Actually, they had been working on it longer. When I joined January about 2.5 years ago, that's when we really started. And we're getting our products documented, something called a VPAT, Voluntary Product Accessibility Template. It's kind of the only way to really, you know, legally state that this is where we stand. Independently audited, a third-party accessibility firm. I believe we're the only event software company in the world that's actually independently audited. I think a couple of them have VPATs, but they're done internally. Ours, if the company says, hey, you have 50 defects, we have 50 defects. And actually, I could even add that not only do they write our VPATs, they write our defects and put them in a big Excel spreadsheet, and then we upload them one-to-one in our defect tracking system and give them what's called SLAs or service level agreements that say, like, you know, that's a high, you have to fix it in 60 days. That's a medium, it's 90. I don't know what the numbers are, but all that is completely independently audited, and then we just start fixing.
I love that. I love to hear it. So I'm going to just sort of wrap us up and ask, are there any tools that people can start to use and implement right away so they can just do better today, if you had to recommend any?
For the digital space, there's a bunch, but with the caveat that a lot of what it will fail is going to be on the software itself. There's kind of three things that a planner needs to do. When you're adding images, you need to add alt text to describe it. So, you know, here I have on the wall a picture of the, you know, Isla's Man TT poster. If you're going to include that image on your website, it would say whatever text is in there, it describes it, right? So somebody who can't see it can understand it through like assistive technology of Braille, their Braille screen reader, their audible screen reader, whatever. So you have to do image alt text, you have to do proper color contrast, and do proper heading structure. For the color contrast and alt text, when you're creating a registration site, alt text is mandatory. In Attendee Hub, we did a demo where if your colors are bad, we actually will let you know that there's a thing called safe color mode. We'll let you know the color's bad. And if safe color mode is on, we'll actually tweak your colors automatically. It's not in red yet, but we're working on it. But that's pretty cool. So if you want red text on a white background, it's kind of too pink, we'll actually darken the red a little bit. It's pretty cool. Yeah, we'll do a demo of it. That's, I think, one of the things we're going to demo tomorrow. But it's pretty cool. The biggest thing to think about probably is not so much tools outside of our big book of event accessibility, which launches tomorrow, but just make sure the software you're using enables you to create accessible content. Because if it doesn't, if I pick something that's not going to create an accessible site, there's virtually nothing you can do. Unless you're like a software engineer and can go through and write HTML code or JavaScript or whatever it is, you just can't do it. You can't make it accessible unless the product allows you to.
Right. Got it. Thank you so much, Stephen. This has been a phenomenal chat. As always, I'm like secretly hoping I get you to connect Europe again. I'm sure I will. I'm going to put that request in because I have to have you talking about this. I just think the more we talk, the more educated I am, but our audience is. And, you know, this is something that we're all trying to navigate. And I keep hearing you talk about this wonderful webinar that's happening tomorrow. I believe it's called No Attendee Left Behind, which I think is a great title. Just in a snippet, just tell us what it's going to be about. Who are you speaking with?
So the first hour is three of us. It's just a panel with a moderator just asking questions. It's kind of hopefully more good than bad, but good and bad stories about events that we've been to. Matthew, he's in a wheelchair. He actually owns a consulting company that will go into venues, you know, hospitality events and libraries, public spaces, banks, and kind of audit them for physical accessibility. It's called Six Wheels Consulting. Matthew Shapiro is his name. He's doing that. And then for the second hour, we're going to launch the big book, which I'm so excited about, launching the big book event accessibility, free download. And then that'll be 10, 15 minutes. And then we're going to have a guy, Ron Justice, a friend of mine in sales. He's actually going to demo our products, create some accessible sites, do things like adding alt text, proper color contrast, play around with color safe mode to show you planners how to actually create an accessible registration site. Should be fun.
I mean, more than fun. I'm so excited for that. I'm like, oh, I've got to put that on my LinkedIn because I think people are really just dying to hear, what can I do? What can I do? So I think that's going to be great.
You know, I've been to a lot of events now, talked to a lot of planners. Planners really, really want to do the right thing. We want to, I say it jokingly, but we want to throw a good party. We do. We want to be happy. We don't want to see at a party somebody in the background sipping their drink, having a bad time. That's one of your attendees. That could be an attendee with a disability. They can't participate. So they just want to throw a good party. And I really, absolutely, with all my heart of hearts, I'm seeing this, that people are so excited about, I really want to do this right. I don't see people in a wheelchair. And I realize that's probably my fault. But it's not that people in wheelchairs don't want to come to my conference. I don't make it so they want to come. And they really want to do that. They want to do it for the right reasons. Plus, they realize, like, those people in wheelchairs have money. Like, you know, they want to spend it at your conference. Do you want to let them? Do you want to take it? You probably do. You know?
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you, Stephen, so much. I'm going to finish by saying thank you. And I love your t-shirt. For everybody that's listening to this podcast and cannot see Stephen's t-shirt, you are missing out. Could you just explain, give us an audio explanation of what is on your t-shirt?
It's our pretty CVET blue color. It's CVET spelled out in sign language. And then I'm going to turn around here on the back. Can you see it?
I can see it. It's got some dots. What do those dots mean?
CVET spelled out in Braille with the word CVET underneath. So it's sign language in the front, Braille in the back. Yeah. If we order 50 of them or something like that, we're just handing them out. We have an accessibility guild. It's within technology here at CVET. So it's me, it's some folks from testers, quality engineering, software engineers, user experience folks. And we're in the accessibility guild. We gave them that. And we just started a new employee resource group for employees with disabilities called Enable. And we're going to come out with more t-shirts, but we'll have like a little Enable logo on it. But big hit. Yeah, pretty big hit. So yeah, proud of our shirts. Yeah.
Well, I'm jealous, but I'm loving it at the same time. So thank you.
Bring one over to London next year.
Thank you. See you next time.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by CVent. If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a great story or an event to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn, send us a DM, or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
Big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event begins with great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.